runs radio anymore? Like, come on, this is like, that's old fashioned. God spoke to him and said, Harold, you provide the radios. You have the means. I want you to get radios. If you think nobody owns a radio, why this? You can do it. So Ken, in the middle, is doing this tour of America, how to run your business's mission. Harold goes to a seminar, hears about his factory, comes up and says, now, I'm not crazy, but God's told me to make a little radio to hand out for people in missions. And Ken says, really? God's told me the same thing. And Harold says, well, do you think you can build them in your factory? He said, sure, but I don't have any missions connections. But I just read an article in a magazine about this crazy guy in Canada who's actually built a prototype, and he works for a mission. Maybe we can call him. And that's how Galcom started. God brought a guy from Tiberias, Israel, Tampa, Florida, and Hamilton, Ontario, of all places, together to form Galcom. But here's the thing. All of them could have done their own thing. Harold was fine. A godly man, giving to missions, giving to his church. He didn't have to risk everything and start this mission. And really, at the beginning, if it wasn't for him, we wouldn't have existed. He paid for everything. Ken had this factory in Israel. He had a good job as an engineer. He could have just kept on doing that. Alan was actually offered his own Canadian Tire store when he was a younger man and walked away from that to go into ministry. So here's all that to say, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Commit your way to the Lord. Hebrew words can have many different English words, so one of them here is commit. Another way to translate this word is to roll over onto. The idea is it's a burden too heavy to carry, so you roll it up onto your donkey to carry for you. So you think of the ancient Israelites that would be singing this song. They got to go up to a festival at Jerusalem. They got their pots and their pans and everything else, their food that they got to carry, their kids, and you can't carry it all. So you roll it, you got a backpack on, you roll it off, and you dump it onto the donkey. It's strong enough to carry it. So that's the picture that the Israelites would have in mind here with this word. Commit your way to the Lord. Roll it over onto him. Commit it over into his care. He can take it. He can carry it. The Hebrew word for commit is gal, which is where we get our name, Galcom. Com for communications, gal for commitment. So these three men have committed their lives to doing things godly. They've given their lives to God. See, it says commit your way. Whenever you see commit your, like the word way or walk in the Bible, that's code for life. So it's not just the burdens and the heavy things. It's your dreams, ambitions, hopes, and plans. That Robin Marx song, you know, all of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. You guys seen that one here ever?
Yeah.
Good. I'm not going to start singing it. I'm glad you all know it. But that's the idea. We say, God, I have things that I want to do, my hopes and plans and my money. Like Harold. Harold could have hung on to his money. Lord, I'm going to commit them to you. And what does he say here? He will cause your righteousness to shine like the light and your justice as the noonday. Everyone will see what you're doing like the sun in the center of the sky if you commit your way to God. That's the promise here when you commit. I want to encourage you, you could do things your own way. We were sharing last night over dinner. I went to school for sports business. I wanted to be the next GM of the Leafs or the Jays or something. And God said to me, Tim, I have something else for your life. I could have said, no, God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to chase my own dreams and ambitions. I decided, Lord, I'm going to commit my life to you. And it has been incredible. The places I've been, the people I've met, the things I've seen God do, it's well worth it. Commit your way to the Lord. Last one, verse 7.
Be still.
Be still. Wait. Rest in the Lord. I've got one more picture. Good. So this one, I told you stories from all the past. This one's my story. So as you heard, I'm an accountant. So I understand the finances. When I joined Galcom, there was about a half a dozen, 8 people on staff. The board wanted someone that knew business that could help it grow. And so I came from this big crossroads ministry and I was supposed to help all this kind of stuff. And be a good money manager, a good administrator, all that. Well, that was 2008. Things were great. Does anyone remember 2009, that subprime mortgage housing collapse and the whole economy tanked? And so suddenly at Galcom, our giving dropped by like 70%. And we're like, went from making 60,000 radios a year to like maybe making some and hoping that we could meet payroll. Terrible time. Terrible time. And there was nothing I could do. I was fretting. I was anxious. I was not resting. We would pray every day, Lord, we commit our financial needs to you. And then I go up to my office and I start going, okay, now what do I do now? And I get the spreadsheets and I wasn't trusting. I kept on pulling it back and bearing that weight. Well, 2016, 17, we're still struggling along. But we were working with a ministry in South Sudan. They were out of Houston, Texas. And for the last couple years before that, they had asked us for 10,000 radios a year. Now, what we do is we ask our partner ministries if they'll cover half the cost of the radios, and then we raise the funds for the other half. And so every year, that means if we had to raise 10, at the time they were $10, 10,000 radios, excellent. See, you need your accounts. 100,000, so we had just for this one part, we needed $100,000 a year, not to mention our partnerships with Far East Broadcasting, Transworld, all these other ministries. So that's great. So we budgeted, we make our plans, I'm a good accountant, everything's in order, I got it all organized. Well, I get a call from their director. He says, Tim, we just took our board over to South Sudan on a vision trip so they can really understand the impact that radio is having in South Sudan. South Sudan, third lowest literacy rate in the world, third most rural population in the world. Nobody lives with electricity. Radio is absolutely the answer for South Sudan. So he knew how important this was. So he took his board over there, and they saw the need. One of his board members happened to be an oil executive down in Houston and said, Peter, we need another 100,000 or another 10,000 radios. Right away. So Peter calls me up and says, I got a guy that's giving me $100,000 to get 10,000 more radios. Could you do that? Can you do the matching funds and help us? And I'm thinking, okay, now, trust in the Lord, delight in the Lord, commit your way to the Lord, you know, physician, heal thyself. Am I going to trust what I've been reading? Am I going to follow these things, or am I going to do this in my own strength, trying to raise the money? So I said, Peter, we'll do it. Absolutely. You know we need to get the radios in South Sudan. At the time, it had devolved into anarchy. I don't know if you follow much African news, but the president was from the Dinka tribe. The vice president was from the Nuer tribe. You know, centuries of tribal conflict. Well, it started again. World's youngest country, officially a Christian nation, devolved into fighting. We got to get the gospel there. The only hope is for people to know that Jesus Christ will forgive them from their sins and that they can forgive others. They have a hope of heaven. All of the things that the gospel teaches us and treating our enemies. They got to get this message to them. So I said yes. I hung up the phone, and I just about had a panic attack. Where am I going to get $100,000? We don't get that kind of money on a regular basis. Days go by. We write letters to people. I contact some foundations that help us. Hey, do you think you could help us out? You know, $100,000. Well, Tim, we'll get back to you. And this went on, and the anxiety built, and the heartburn grew, and the ulcers formed, and the sleepless nights, because I was fretting. Do not fret, it says. Don't be anxious. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. And I couldn't. Well, fortunately, God knows what we can handle, and he is a loving and gracious father. And I'm sitting there at my desk. I was actually preparing a sermon for a church in Sherkston Shores, Ontario. And I forget what I was preaching on, but I wanted to touch on Psalm 37:5. It's our key verse, commit your way. That's where Galcon comes from. So I was looking here, just had my Bible open, and the Holy Spirit kept bringing my eyes to verse 7. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. Be still. Do not be anxious. And I kept reading it. So you know what I did? I pushed my Bible away from me, and I grabbed my spreadsheets again, and I tried to solve the problem myself. And I think God just looked at me and said, Tim, all right, you're not understanding. The phone rings. Answer the phone. Hi, it's so-and-so, and one of our financial partners. He had helped us with a project in Haiti, and he's very involved there. And he said, Tim, how are things going? And of course, everything's fine, you know. Yeah. And he says, do you have any projects that you're working on? And I said, well, we need to raise money for 10,000 radios for South Sudan. We need $100,000. He said, okay, we just sold our family farm out here, and so check's in the mail. I'm glad I was sitting down, or I would have fallen over. God, as I said, is the all-powerful, all-knowing, sovereign Lord and sustainer, creator, sustainer, provider. He has the means, but he also knows when. And oftentimes, we got to get this off our mind now. We got to do it ourselves. And we get caught in this trap of relying on ourselves, leaning on our own understanding, and it causes all sorts of heartache and pain and anxiety. This one here, verse 7, is the one that I still have the most difficulty with. Waiting patiently for the Lord. Cancer diagnosis, loss of job, rebellious child, broken marriage. We want these solved now. Do we trust God enough that he knows well enough the situation, knows us, has a purpose for it? I was at Elam Lodge this past week, and I was sharing about Joseph. And Joseph says to his brothers at the end of the whole story, if you know a story, what you intended for evil, God intended for good. It was 13 years from the beginning of Joseph's story when his brothers couldn't say a kind word to him, sold him into slavery, till when he was finally made prime minister of Egypt. 13 years. I am so glad God did not make me wait 13 years. But God had a plan through all of that suffering. Jail, falsely accused in jail, and waiting there, sold as a slave. You may be going through troubled times that are as bad as being sold into slavery and being wrongfully accused and being thrown into jail. That may be how it feels right now. But there is a promise here in God's word that we don't have to be anxious, that we can still trust in God. I mentioned earlier that there's only half as many missionaries going out into the world. I heard a speaker in Saskatoon, of all places, say, you know what the number one reason why people aren't going into missions anymore? Parents. Parents who say to their kids, get a good job with a benefit plan and a good retirement package and stay close by so I can visit my grandkids. The church is discouraging people from leaving and going into missions. If you go to the next slide there, Acts 1:8. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, all Judea to Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. We are all called to be witnesses, even accountants. This is good. I can pick on. Usually it's me, the accountant. This is the thing, witnesses. You know the Great Commission in Matthew 28, it says, all authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me, therefore go into all the world, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always. That's the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19 to 20. That sounds difficult. Make disciples. That's tough. I like this one. Be a witness. Anyone ever witnessed a car accident? Does the police officer ask you, are you a mechanic? Do you know what happened to the car? No. Do they ask you, are you a doctor? Do you understand the extent of the injuries? No. They say, what did you see? Blue car hit red car. That's a witness. All we need to do is witness, what has Jesus Christ done in our lives? He has saved me from my sin. He has taken away the shame and the guilt. I have hope of eternity with him in heaven. He has given me peace with God, peace with others. He's transformed me. That's the witnessing part. And we should all be doing that. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has come upon us and given us that power. So whether you are in an office here or a farm here, or God has called you to go somewhere, we're all called to be a witness for God, to make an impact in the area where we go. If you just go to the last one, I told you that Psalm 37:5, that word commit, comes from the Hebrew gal that has many different English words it could be translated into, and I'm finishing with this. The other word for gal is wave. The Sea of Galilee is very shallow. So the waves whip up the wind waves up the water, and the waves come crashing on the shore. We've all read the stories of Jesus calming the Sea of Galilee, walking on the waves. Well, radio travels by waves. Sound travels by waves. And when you make an impact somewhere, like throwing a rock in the water, you make waves. That kind of colloquialism. Make waves, make an impact, shake things up. That's what we're called to do. Be a witness. Wherever God has planted you, be a witness for him. Be a missionary for him right where you are. And if God has called you to serve him somewhere, trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord and delight in him. Later on in Psalm 37, it says, the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. So you don't have to know the end from the beginning. Those three guys that started Galcom, they had no idea what was coming. They committed their way to the Lord, and their steps were directed by him. Trust God. Trust God. Do things his way, and then he will direct your paths. Father, I thank you so much for your word.